Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Very pleased to be joined by a good friend and does great work, Nate Bauer, on3.com. Sir, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are the Hoopers these days?
Well, you know what? The training camp, the second training camp they went through, has been bearing fruit. It is a better basketball team on this date on January the 13th than it was on December the 11th.
Yeah, go figure. Go figure. Yeah. 22 days could help pay off.
Well, you know what? There are a couple things that can happen. You can work hard and have guys look around and go, what are we doing here? And you lose them.
Yep.
Which can happen. Or you can look around and have people that are determined to get better and respond to it, and that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting, and like if you're looking at the season as a whole, to see this kind of narrative of the seedlings of success, right, in those first 10 games before really the shutdown. You know, there were elements, but there wasn't this kind of complete, like the word that's being used right now is buy-in. And I think it's so applicable, right? Like you've got a bunch of different seniors, older guys, upperclassmen who were all kind of thrown into this pot together for this season after coming from different places and obviously some holdovers from last season. But there's a trust element that has to take place. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's absolutely trust between themselves, and it's trust certainly with the coaching staff. And so I think that what I'm seeing, and I'm guessing that you would echo the sentiment, is so many of these players coming in and saying, hey, you know, there were bits and pieces, things that worked, things that didn't work in that first part of the season that, okay, find what works, stick with it, dig in, buy in even more, and then be put into those places to have success. And that's what they've done over the last four games.
They certainly have. And Dick made a great point today at the Hoops Club luncheon. He started out by talking about the years that Micah was at Butler. Now, the game has changed since, you know, we're talking about something that's 10, 11 years old, so there's more speed in the game today. But Butler played at 59 possessions a game.
Yeah.
Right, 59. Penn State's playing right now at an adjusted tempo of 63. I thought Dick made a great point. So, Micah, it's not saying that's how he's going to play 2 years from now. It depends on your personnel.
Yep.
But he understood how to play with this group because he had experience at it.
I have thought and did think that it was so curious. Not that he was, marking his territory as this is a new era of Penn State basketball. But, you know, I think that what you saw during the Pat Chambers era was trying to understand and realize that because of the athletes that Penn State had to recruit, that they had to play a different style of basketball than what was prevalent in the Big Ten. And so they wanted to take risks defensively. They wanted to jump in the lanes. They wanted to create steals. They wanted fast breaks because, and I'm being blunt here, but I mean no disrespect, they couldn't shoot.
Well,
they couldn't make shots.
Actually, there's another part of it, though, and it's something that Dick and I have talked about a lot. Right? This is not really a great athletic league. Right, and so the two teams that could run in the league for years, and it's not true right now of Michigan State, but Michigan State was one and Penn State was the other.
Absolutely.
They were the two that brought speed to the table. That's why, you know, as Dick has pointed out, in the NCAA tournament last year, the Big Ten was going to fare well, and he said they're not going to fare well because they're going to go against teams that had athletes.
Yep. Yeah, well, but guess what? To get to the NCAA tournament, you got to be able to compete and win games in the Big Ten.
No doubt. And that's how you got to do it.
Exactly. And so the way that Penn State is currently structured, I mean, Micah said it from really day one. He said, look, you got to play half court defense. You got to play half court offense. The tough, gritty, all of those Bobby Knight. I mean, the Bobby Knight references have been plentiful through the season, not just during a game against Purdue. And so, or Indiana, I should say. So, you know, look, like the way that he has come in, the approach that he has taken, the things that he has wanted to accomplish, I think are honestly different, right? They're different from what Penn State was coming from, but you're seeing the way that the formula that he has decided upon is paying dividends. It is coming back and showing returns. And I don't know about you, but I thought the performance against Rutgers was really a, kind of a classic demonstration of that, right? Like Rutgers wants to muck up the game. That is the style of basketball that Rutgers wants to play. And Penn State was happy to play it. They were fine playing it. They were okay getting a 10-point lead and keeping it there, right? And just letting it ride. Because they knew that as the time ticks away, Rutgers didn't have enough possessions left in the game to win with, what, 7 minutes to play? Yeah, 6 minutes? You know, I mean, that was kind of the example.
No, we came out of timeouts, and that's what I kept saying. So, Dick, how many possessions left? You know, and Dick's always really good at estimating how many possessions left. Because the point I was trying to make through the question was, no offense, you're running out of time, and there's 7 minutes left, and you are running out of time. There's a couple. The way Penn State plays right now, basketball wise, is hard to play. It's draining to play. Yet Penn State is the fresher team in almost every game in the last 5 minutes.
Yep. Well. They don't play a game for 3 weeks.
But you know what? It can go the opposite way. You can not play for 3 weeks, and guess what? The second game, you're shot.
True.
Right? Second game, you're shot. Then the third and fourth game, you're usually fine. Greg Miskinis deserves a lot of credit for you know, the work he's done with those guys.
Yep. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that they have, the way that they've come out of the break, the way that they're playing, and look, like, I don't think that anybody wants to get ahead of themselves within the program in terms of what's coming. But if you can be competitive, which is what they have demonstrated over these last four games, that's really all you're asking for, because it is simply a matter of, you know, I hate how stupid this sounds, but either Jalen Pickett's going to make a shot or he's not. And he is right now, and if that continues, they're going to be in a great place. Seth Lundy, right, didn't make shots against Purdue. Did not make shots, wasn't a factor until late in that game or too far along in that game for Penn State to actually pull it out, right? Sam Sessoms, they got nothing from Sam Sessoms in that game. But you see the pivot. Like you see these core elements of, hey, these are the guys that make up this team. You're going to ride with them, and you're going to win with them, or you're going to lose with them. But if there are no shows, they're going to be in trouble. If there aren't, if everybody is engaged, if everybody's playing to their potential, this is a team that can play with really just about anybody in this Big Ten.
All right, so a couple football notes. Noah Kane goes into the transfer portal. Your thoughts when that happened?
Yeah, you know, I think that I kind of feel the same way that most Penn State fans probably feel, which is you feel bad for him, right? I mean, it just the way that his career has transpired based on what he did in 2019, to get hurt at the end of that season and then to obviously get hurt and miss all of 2020, he just wasn't the same this year. It doesn't mean that he can't get back to that or that there won't be an avenue to him reaching his potential, but very clearly you have this combination of him not being at full strength and that coinciding with an offensive line that wasn't very good. And so those two things could not work together. One of the two maybe could have happened, but not both at the same time. And that's why Penn State had the rushing problems that it had. And that's why Noah Kane never really, turned the corner, I felt, through the season.
And then the schedule. Personal opinion on my part is now a better balanced schedule for Penn State. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, look, I don't know how much time you've spent on it, but opening the year on the road in the Big Ten is a trend that I think is unfair in the league.
It'll end up being 10 straight years. I mean,
10 straight years.
When it's done, when this sequence is done, it'll be 10 consecutive years. I think it's 2025. It'll be 10 straight seasons. Basketball finally had its first Big Ten home opener where the first game was at home in 5 years. When they played Ohio State December 5th, first time since 2016, they opened the conference season at home.
It's both ways, right? I mean, it is absolutely that 10-year stretch, and then it is compounded by it actually being the actual first game of the season.
Right. Exactly.
So, like, to have to do that 2 years in a row,
I know.
At Wisconsin and at Purdue, I'm just not sure that is equitable for the league. And forget Penn State. I'm saying for anybody.
Yep.
To have to start the season that way. I understand TV dollars, revenue, all of that stuff.
Well, that's why you rotate. That's why you make Michigan do it once.
Yep.
I mean, that's why. Yep. I mean, because Ohio State did it at Indiana, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, they've opened the season.
And has done it at Minnesota
And at Minnesota they've done it. Michigan hasn't done it.
Yeah.
About time, maybe.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. I think beyond that, right?
The changes they made were good for Penn State. I want to give them praise for that.
For sure. For sure. No. So to not have obviously Ohio State and then at Michigan back to back, I think is to Penn State's benefit. It is kind of interesting. I did a thing for the website last week where I kind of picked an important date in every month on the calendar. And I looked at November, and that was a very manageable schedule for Penn State in the prior schedule.
Yep.
But I still think that if you're looking at it on the whole, to not have to face really what would be a bludgeoning, right? Like, nobody comes out of that alive, having to face Ohio State, Michigan, and I believe Michigan State in the prior schedule,
right,
all in October. Like, that was just going to be a tough.
Well, it's more to it than that. You would have in the opening 6 weeks played at Purdue, at Auburn, at Michigan, and host Ohio State.
Yep.
Oh, really? Yep. That's great. Right, and remember, the Big Ten gave you three of those four games.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and we've talked about this before, but James Franklin has made very, very clear, and I am a believer in what he is saying about it, that these home and homes scheduling app, like, yeah, it was good for Penn State this past year, but it's not good for Penn State.
No.
You have to go to Auburn in the third week of the season. That's just, it just isn't. So, but overall, I mean, I certainly think that it spreads out. It's always a tough schedule. Every
sure.
year is tough,
right?
But this makes it a little bit more manageable for sure.
Sir, you make the show more manageable.
Oh, stop.
Appreciate you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nate.
All right. Bye-bye.